Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Most people in prison will be out someday. How do they rejoin society as productive people? Well, the Bard Prison Institute, a college education program, is the subject of a new documentary series called College Behind Bars that will be airing on public television here in St. Louis. Director Lynn Novick was in town for a screening and a discussion of the film. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Debbie. Great to be here.
Now, College Behind Bars is a fascinating title in and of itself. And in New York State, which is where you based your documentary, more than 50,000 people are incarcerated, and just a few hundred have this opportunity to get a college education. So let's start with what a lot of people might be thinking right now is, why should people in prison get a college education?
Well, for the very reason that you mentioned at the beginning, 95% of people that are in prison are going to be coming home. So if people are incarcerated, most of them not having had access to great educational opportunity in the first place, if they are being warehoused and just simply punished and not given the opportunity to grow, progress, and become productive members of society, it's no surprise that 60 to 70% of people who are released from prison end up back in prison. And that's A, expensive, and B, very unjust, frankly. We believe education is a right. Everyone should have access to it. And it's essentially a critical tool for what our prison is supposed to be doing, which is rehabilitate people.
I think one side conversation is with the privatization of prisons and prisons being a profit center as opposed to a place where people serve their time. There's not as much of a motivating factor to rehabilitate people.
Well, I think if we telescope out even from that and just think about the dollars and cents, America spends more than $80 billion a year on incarceration. And we're not getting a very good return on that investment, if you want to think about it that way. Some of it is going to private prisons. A lot of it is going to government-run facilities as well. And, you know, we have over 2 million people incarcerated in this country, one of the largest percentages of population of any civilized country. And the system is a complete failure. It's not accomplishing what it's supposed to do. And, you know, I don't believe prisons should be a jobs program either. I think that these institutions are there to make our society theoretically more safe and more just, and they are not doing that. And, you know, my colleague and producer on this project, Sarah Botstein, and I got involved in this project because we visited a classroom of students in a maximum security prison who were in this incredible college program called the Bard Prison Initiative, and we saw the remarkable work they were doing, which is at a very high academic and intellectual level. And it sort of blew our minds to realize this was happening. We didn't realize it was happening. We didn't understand the context. We didn't know how many people in America had access to college while incarcerated. We didn't really know the first thing about it. And as historians, we've made a lot of films with Ken Burns over the years about Vietnam War, jazz, baseball, prohibition. You know, here's a story happening right now in real time that we felt our country really needed to know.
Yeah, and he's the executive producer on this, correct? So, yeah, that's high praise. We're like, ooh, it's a Ken Burns piece.
Yeah.
It's a four-part documentary series. It's going to be airing on KETC when?
Yes, on November 25th and 26th. So they're going to air parts one and two on Monday night and parts three and four on Tuesday night, and that's right before Thanksgiving. And I saw the other day that Piper Kerman, who wrote Orange is the New Black, she tweeted out that she and her family are planning to watch the film and then talk about it at Thanksgiving. And our hope is that, you know, in the midst of all the very overwhelming news that we're dealing with every day, our film gives our country a chance to have a really important conversation about something that's very important, very essential, which is two questions we think the film raises. What is prison for? And who in our country has access to education? And how do those two questions intersect with the very important and not totally explored question of race in America?
Well, I've seen parts of this so far, and it's very compelling, and you do follow some of these students. And you're right, when they're having that classroom situation, I'm thinking these are deeply intellectual conversations that you would expect to hear in a Harvard classroom,
Indeed.
not in prison. So when we talk about recidivism, people getting out of prison, the rate at which they return because they don't have opportunities is very high. But what was the rate of recidivism for the people who went through this program?
Yeah, so the Bard Prison Initiative has been around for 20 years. And over those 20 years, 600 graduates have been released from prison, and fewer than 4% have gone back to prison.
I mean, that's amazing. Fewer than 4%.
That speaks for itself, really. I mean, this works, and it's well known. This is not a secret. And I think we have to think about why we're not offering or providing the tools that people need to leave prison as productive citizens.
Do you feel that there is more hope now? Because I remember in the 90s and the early 2000s, we went through this very get tough on crime, lock them up and throw away the key, supermax, just punish them. And the conversation has been changing.
Yes, indeed. And that's been really interesting for Sarah and me to see over the course of working on this film, actually. There is a growing and very effective bipartisan movement to end mass incarceration and to fix our criminal justice system and to look at the underlying structural reasons why people do break the law and end up in prison. And we're seeing real progress. It's slow, but the conversation has shifted away from exactly what you said to, you know, how do we help people become better citizens? And how do we reduce prison populations? And how do we make the system that has been so broken more fair? And in fact, right now, the reason why there's so few people having access to college while in prison is because as part of the 1994 Clinton crime bill, Congress voted to remove Pell Grant eligibility for people who were in prison. Pell Grants are, you know, federal grants for people who were below a certain income level so they can go to college. And people in prison were below that income level and they were having access to this federal funds. And when those funds were taken away, college, which had been in almost every prison in America at that time, there were 800 programs, went down to almost none. And so it's no surprise that recidivism rates skyrocketed at the same time our prison population exploded with these tough-on-crime laws that we passed. And so right now, because of this bipartisan momentum, and it really is across the political spectrum from Rand Paul to Cory Booker, the Koch brothers, the ACLU, you know, strange bedfellows recognize that this needs to be fixed. There's legislation before Congress right now called the REAL Act, which is to restore Pell eligibility for people in prison, among many other parts of that law. And we couldn't have predicted that when we started this film 6 years ago, we would be having this conversation right now, but we feel the film is coming out at the perfect time to help inform our leaders and our citizens about, you know, what has been going on and how we need to fix it.
It is called College Behind Bars, and it is coming up, a four-part documentary series on KETC here in St. Louis. The director is Lynn Novick, and the executive producer, Ken Burns. Definitely watch it, because it is a very thought-provoking documentary. And thank you so much for sharing your time with us today.
And thank you so much for having me. I mean, it's been a life-altering experience for us to work on it, and we've been so inspired by the stories of what these students have accomplished. I just will just mention one other thing in passing, which is that when we were filming, the Bard Prison Initiative has a debate team, and they went up against many different colleges that came into the prison to compete against them, and one of those was Harvard, and they beat Harvard, and that's part of our story. And I think that just speaks to, you know, upending conventional wisdom about who incarcerated people are and what they are capable of.
That is Lynn Novick joining us here on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX, the documentary series College Behind Bars.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.